Thank you for checking in, church. We're going to talk today about where we go from here. And the first step of where we go from here is we need to repent of short-term thinking and start digging in for long-term solutions. That's the core of what we need to do. We have been locked in into short-term false hopes, ideas that this will fix it quickly and everything else. And this is a big part of our problem of our society, and it points to our solution. We need to start taking Deuteronomy 7:9 seriously, in which it says that God will keep his covenant with those who love him and keep his commandments through the thousandth generation. We need to start taking Matthew 28:20 seriously when he says, "I'll be with you to the end of the age." And so if that's true, then we need to start thinking about the end of the age. And we need to start thinking about the thousandth generation. We need to build things. We need to establish households and families and communities that will still be standing for 1,000 generations until the end of the age. And hopefully, and we all hope and pray that Jesus comes back today or tomorrow or sometime in our lifetimes. We all often talk about this. We often say that, you know, we hope he'll come. And the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, ends that way with John saying, "Come, Lord Jesus." John is the writer of Revelation. So it is absolutely good and right to pray for Jesus to come back quickly. You should pray that way every day. And we should live our lives as though maybe this is the last day. Maybe this is it, and I want to go out serving the Lord well. But we should also live our lives recognizing that he is King of kings and Lord of lords over all of eternity. And his plans are way bigger than ours. And this could go on for 1,000 more generations. God may have a plan far, far greater than you and I are imagining. And we need to be prepared for that. And I believe it glorifies God if he comes back today and you are set about working on a long-term project that you have no hope of ever finishing without Christ, but you are building it in the name of Christ. I believe that glorifies God. He comes back, he says, "Good and faithful servant, you are working hard," right? When your boss shows up at work, you want to be in the middle of something. You want to be working on something. You don't want to be sitting around waiting, doing nothing, right? Think of it that way. Repent of short-term thinking and embrace a long-term, a really long-term strategy to build an entirely new civilization, a Christian civilization. Make disciples of all the nations. Baptize them. Teach them to observe all Christ has commanded. He'll be with us till the end of the age. He's giving us a huge job, an enormous job, and it is not done. It's not even close. We have a long way to go. So we need to repent of this short-term stuff, and we need to go in for long-term stuff. And what I mean by short-term stuff, obviously the elections are a major part of it, and we put a lot of hope in elections, and we hope and pray that we get a new guy in the governor's office. That'll solve the problem. And then obviously that failed this time. We didn't even get him in. Other times we do get the guy we voted for, and then they turn out to their disappointments. They don't actually do what they say they're going to do. And so we put a lot of hope in that, and it's important, and you need to vote, and you need to, it matters. But other things also matter. And our culture has been lost. That was one of the wake-up calls, I think, for most of us with this election. We all thought, it'll be a big red wave or whatever they were calling it. And it just wasn't. And why wasn't it? Well, there's 100 theories. But at the root of all of it is we have a lot of people in our state and nation who have turned from God. A lot of them. And the only debate is how many there are. Is it 40%, 50%, 51%, 60%? We don't really know, but there's a lot of them, and it's been rising for generations. The number of people who do not know God's word, who are blind to the truth, who are deceived, who believe lies, and the lies that people are believing nowadays are getting crazier by the day. I mean, just a few years ago, you would never have guessed that they were putting boys in girls' bathrooms and locker rooms in our middle schools and stuff. You would never have guessed that, right? And yet here we are, and that's supposedly the way we're supposed to do it now. Obviously, Obviously, there's a lot of people blinded, completely blind, upside down in their thinking. And that is a rising number. Okay, and I don't know exactly how high it is, but that's the thing that needs to catch our attention. How did that happen? Well, that's been a long time coming. It might be very recent that some of these trends are starting to hit the mainstream, but it's been a very long time coming. And if we want to build back, if we want to be a righteous people, a faithful people, and make disciples of our nation, which Jesus commanded us to do, then we're going to have to start thinking big picture and long term. Because this stuff that we've got right now, that we're facing right now, a society that is just burning down around us, secularism is failing before our eyes all over the place, it's been a long time coming. The way I look at it, the best of my understanding, we're talking about at least 150 years of intentional efforts. It started basically with two guys, with Darwin and Marx, roughly 150 years ago, give or take. They were contemporaries of one another. They lived around the same time period. They were secularists. They were naturalists. They did not accept the biblical truth of who we are, where we come from, where we're going, the redemption by the blood of Christ. They rejected those things. Okay, and the church for decades accommodated that stuff. And instead of rejecting it out of hand, started allowing it to mix in. And this has become disastrous to the point where here we are now, and the whole system, the whole atmosphere that we live in and breathe in is saturated with Darwin and Marx, with naturalism and Marxism, whether it's cultural, with critical race theory and critical gender theories, whether it's economic, classical standard Marxism, all of this, it's destructive. It's completely destructive. And it's been a long time coming. And they did it on purpose. They had a name for it. They got together. They had these schools, the Frankfurt School, over in Europe and in Germany. And then they came here because the Nazis came over, took over Germany. So they had a stated plan. They called it the Long March Through the Institutions, where we're going to intentionally demolish all these institutions in Western Europe and North America that have been built by Christians and the Christian heritage. We're going to destroy them, and we're going to gut them from the inside out. They called it the Long March Through the Institutions. And we're going to completely rearrange it and fill it with naturalism and Marxism. They've been doing it on purpose for decades, longer than you and I have been alive. And it's a long time coming. It was planned. It was strategic. It was intentional. And it is extremely successful at what it does. And so we need to have a mindset, a greater mindset than that. And we need to be building something with the stamp of eternity on it. Jesus said he'll be with us to the end of the age. He is King and God over all of eternity. And you and I are made in his image. So the stuff we make that's made in our image, the stuff that we produce, your family, your job, these things, we should do them with the image of God built in. The things that you do should reflect on eternity, should have an eternal nature to them, a weightiness to them. And our society has none of that. Our society is all short-term, cheap thrills, quick fixes, stuff like that. This is why our society has a major divorce problem, because marriage is long-term and permanent, till death do us part. And our society does not like that, and marriage gets rough, and so people quit. This is why our society has a suicide problem. Life is hard, I'm going to quit. This is why we have a drug abuse problem. Life is hard, I'm going to escape from it. This is why people bounce from relationship to relationship, damaging one another worse and worse all the time. Because the first one got rough, got hard, and so we're going to find another one. This is why so many of our problems exist. This is why we had a big meltdown over the election, because, it was just, we thought we were going to solve all the problems with one vote. No, that's a pretty easy way to tell how big of a false hope you had about the elections, is how frustrated, worried, angry, despairing you are now. The elections didn't go your way. And we see an increasing tide of this stuff in every election. When Trump won in 2016, there was a huge meltdown around the left. When he lost in 2020, there's a meltdown on the right. And sure, we chalk it up to cheating. We chalk it up to this and that. So did they in 2016, by the way. We are a society that cannot handle disappointment. And when we see evil, when we see radical evil spreading around, we want to fix it, but we want to fix it now, and we want to put some hero in place to do it for us. And that is not how this nation was built. That is not how the kingdom of God gets built. So yes, your vote matters. Yes, integrity in elections matters. These things matter, and they are fights worth fighting. But we do not put our hope there. We put our hope in Christ and the things of eternity. And so if we can learn from these guys, these commies, these Marxist and Darwinist naturalists that have been destroying the place for decades now, that are burning it down around us. And by the way, don't think that this is accidental. It's absolutely intentional. If you line up Marx and Darwin and the stuff they're teaching, they were aiming for this kind of society. This is exactly what they were aiming at, and it's what they've hit. A society that is sexually, completely out of control sexually. That's thank you, Darwin. The survival of the fittest, have sex with everybody, have the most babies, just experiment around, tinker around, and mutate around, do whatever crazy thing you can think of, because that's the way to progress and evolution. That's Darwinism, and that's what he said, and that's what he got. Okay, they were doing it on purpose. Marxism wanted to divide everybody by how much money they made, and then they decided, you know what, we can divide people in other ways too. We can divide them by what skin color they are, we can divide them by what religion they are, we can divide them on hundreds of levels, and we'll divide them and divide them and divide them until everybody's so angry that they burn the cities down and start over. And that is what Marx dreamed of. It's called the Communist Revolution. It is what he wanted, and they did it in several countries. They did it most famously, of course, in Russia, the Bolshevik Revolution. Burn it all down. They do it on purpose, and they are doing it on purpose now, and we see it now. And the only way you don't see it is if you're blind or you believe lies, which is the same thing. So anyway, if we can learn from those guys, and they planned ahead, and they worked and strived for many generations, well, let's think back another layer. Before them, let's go to 1620, Plymouth, Massachusetts. This is the first wave of the Christian pilgrims coming to North America. 1620, 402 years ago. We're going to celebrate Thanksgiving next week, right? So let's think to them, look to them. What did they do? They came to this continent with nothing. They didn't get here and go apply for a job somewhere to feed their family. There were no jobs. They had to build it. They had to make their own clothes, their own shoes, their own food. They needed to make their own guns, make their own ammunition. They had to do it all. They had to build mills to mill lumber, to make houses, dimensional lumber. So they had to build it all from scratch. And they did. And you know what their preachers preached on? The most common theme they preached on before they even came, while they traveled, and after they were here. They preached out of Matthew 5, where Jesus said that you're a city on a hill. And they said, we're going to come to a continent, a new continent, and we're going to make it a city on a hill, a big, bright light. And we're going to let the light shine in such a way that men see our good works and give glory to God in heaven. And so we're going to build a whole new nation based on that foundational principle. And you can look it up. So a lot of their sermons are still written down, still available. And they constantly preached on this. They weren't just coming to North America to escape from the corruption of Europe. There's a lot of corruption in Europe. That was part of it. But they weren't coming here just to escape from that. They were coming here with a purpose to build something new, to build a city on a hill, a new civilization, a Christian civilization that would become a light to the world. And they did. That's the most amazing thing. They did. It's incredible. This nation where we live, the United States of America, but really North America, you could include Canada in this. And of course, that movement also includes a lot of countries in Western Europe and Australia, that they did it a little bit differently. They tinkered with it in their own way, but they had the same basic goal. And you can look. Jesus said, by their fruits you will know them. So look around. Did the stuff those guys tried to do, did that become a bright light in the world and point people to Christ? Yes or no? Yes. Obviously it did. We've sent more missionaries out of this country. The entire international missions movement that we kind of just are aware of in our time all sprang out of that, out of this country. The whole idea of freedom and free markets comes from Romans 8, that all of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the children of God, the freedom of the glory of the children of God. And they read that and they said, hey, we're the children of God. All of creation is waiting eagerly for us to be set free from its struggles. So we should create freedom. We should bring freedom. We've been set free from sin, and we should preach that message to the world. All of creation waits and groans for this. And so they did. And that's why we have the system that we have, that the Marxists and Darwinists are trying to gut and destroy. These guys built it. These Christians built it on purpose, intentionally. They built a Christian civilization with the purpose of being a city on a hill that would last to the thousandth generation until Jesus comes back to the end of the age. This was their stated intentional purpose. And so they came here. They brought like-minded friends with them. They spread the gospel. And not only did they come here and have nothing, they actually came here to a pagan nation. North America was settled with a bunch of nature-worshipping, tribalistic, war-loving tribes, right? And they brought the gospel there. Many of them came to Christ. Many cooperated. The first Thanksgiving, they already had converts working together with them. You know your Thanksgiving stories, right? And of course, others hated them, tried to kill them, and it was ongoing. But Christianity spread. Christianity dominated. And these tribalistic, nature-worshipping, naturalistic religions that were everywhere on this continent before the pilgrims came are virtually wiped out. And they're coming back with some of this New Age Wiccan, witchcrafty kind of stuff. And that's what we should expect. We should expect it to come back because the Christian church has gone silent and has not confronted the sins of our age. And so what do you expect to happen when the source of light decides to put a basket over it and hide in a corner? You should expect darkness. And so that's what we're seeing. But we can learn. We can learn what they did in the past, see that it worked. And you know what? We're still standing in the freest and most blessed nation in the history of the world. Even now, even after all the Marxists have been doing their thing, wrecking everything they touch, and the naturalistic secularism ideas are wrecking everything, is burning down, even still, we're still the greatest nation in the world in terms of freedom, in terms of prosperity, in terms of future prospects and so on. But these foundations were built well by Christian people on purpose, but they won't withstand this constant secularism forever. It's a direct assault on Christianity, on the name of Christ, on his people, and on the family. How are you going to reach the thousand generations if you destroy the family, right? That's the intention. They don't want this. They want to destroy the family and destroy God's covenants and everything else that go with it. That's what's happening. So we're going to have to repent of short-term solutions. We're not going to get a short-term solution to a long-term problem. We have a whole society to turn around. We have a nation to make into a disciple again. It's no longer a Christian nation. It used to be on purpose, a stated purpose, right? It's not anymore. So we have real work to do. So repent of your short-term thinking, and let's dig in for long-term thinking, a thousand generations worth. Let's think about that. Let's pray about that. Let's work for that. You can see that in all the writings of these Christian founders who started this country. They are always talking about posterity and their children's children. We need to start thinking that way. So a few things you can do practically. We're going to get into a lot more practical stuff here. But a few things you can do practically. Build your marriage. Build your marriage to last. Your marriage is a testament on earth, a testament of eternity. Your marriage is a picture of Christ and his church. He says he'll be with you to the end of the age. So husbands, you're with your wife to the end of the age. You're with her faithfully as Christ is to the church. Faithfully, sacrificially, and with love. You're doing it. Wives, you're the church. You're with your husband. You're following Christ wherever he goes. You're blessing, you're supporting, you're multiplying his efforts. He sends the church out to make disciples of the nations. If you're a wife, your job is to be a faithful, God-fearing, husband-respecting, loving wife. And let's do this well, because that reflects on Christ in the church. And secularists don't like Christ. They don't like church. They don't like eternity. They like to burn stuff down. So build your marriage. Do not let this contagion, this disease, this epidemic of divorce, do not let it in your house. stand as a testament to the world that Christ is eternal, that his purposes are eternal, that his church is eternal. Stand as a testament to the world and do that. And praise the Lord, you will be a great testament. And then raise your children to the thousandth generation to serve Christ. All right, that's what we do. We're going to talk some specifics here in the next couple of videos, some things that I think are obvious that we as a church need to get better at. All right, God bless you.